More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. We've been talking about the history of Wisconsin's food economy on this first day of our Project Milwaukee series. But while our food tradition is about money, it's also about flavor. And Therese Allen has written the book on the flavor of Wisconsin. In fact, her recent book is called The Flavor of Wisconsin. It's a revised and updated version of the seminal book on Wisconsin's food traditions, initially written by the late Harva Hackton. Allen joined us in the studio last year, shortly after the new edition was published by the Wisconsin Historical Society. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
What was so significant about the first edition of this book that led the Historical Society and you, in the end, to want to revise it rather than, say, pursue a completely new book with a similar theme?
It really was an unusual book when it first came out. It still really is an unusual book. It came out in 1981. It was written by Harva Hackton. She researched it throughout the 1970s as a journalist and employee of the Wisconsin Historical Society. At that time, the society was looking to do a kind of ethnic cookbook, and they went out to cooks all around the state asking for their grandmother's and grandfather's recipes in a way to sort of preserve these older recipes and sort some of the ethnic culture of Wisconsin. But what happened was this flood of recipes. People just came back in droves. Something like 1,400 recipes came back, and it was just unprecedented. So Harva realized that there was a treasure here, and she not only edited down the recipes for inclusion in the book, she wrote a series of historical essays to give the historical perspective on the book. It was really the only that I knew of at the time. Well, I started using it later in the 80s when I started writing about Wisconsin's culinary culture, and I really was surprised to find this kind of resource. And I've been using it ever since to give that historical perspective to what I write about in terms of, or have written about in terms of Wisconsin's contemporary culture. So to this day, I don't know actually of a book that does quite the same thing, takes the food history of the state from pre-European, from Native American times to the contemporary days, sure, with recipes and the historical perspective and the photographs.
Linking the food to the history, to the photographs.
Right, right.
And it was, in fact, really well-received when it came out in the
80s. It was. She, even Harva herself, commented in the introduction and in the introduction to the second printing, so the surprise, definitely at that time, there was this burgeoning interest in all things culinary and in American regional cooking, but there wasn't the kind of attention that is being paid to it today, and there really wasn't another book quite like it. So it was, I think, a surprise to her, as I think she described it as icing on the cake, yeah. that it had been so well received.
Or in Wisconsin, maybe icing on the Kringle.
Thank you. Not on the brat.
there was no food network in 1981.
There was no food network. There were very few cooking or culinary magazines. There weren't all the amazing websites. There just wasn't that attention. There wasn't really even academic attention. It just hadn't percolated yet into even academic circles at that time. And now, of course, people are very curious, not just about their own backgrounds, but about, international cooking and, organic cooking. And it goes on and on. There's just so much interest now in all the pleasures and benefits that what food tells us about ourselves.
Well, and we should note that Harva Hackton was originally involved in the planning for the second edition of this book, and she passed away in
the
process.
She was elderly when I was first approached by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press about this possibility of a second edition. We realized that pretty much the second that the book came out in 1981, everything had started to change already. And of course, there's, like I mentioned, there's just this explosion of interest in and knowledge about cooking. And in Wisconsin in particular, even though we might think of this sort of as the meat and potatoes kind of state, when you talk about food history is Wisconsin food history. So there was just so much more happening, so much more going on here than people expected. And what happened was Harva and myself and the folks from the press got together. We started talking about doing this edition. I had been writing about contemporary culture for a while, and then Harva did pass away. So the baton was passed to me. And my work then was to really kind of connect the historical dots, I guess is the way to put it. She had emphasized in her first edition the 19th century and the early 20th century. I took it from there and brought it into the 21st century, added a new introduction. They did all kinds of beautiful things with the cover and the inside, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, and you alluded to this when the first edition of the book came out. Wisconsin had the reputation of a lot of Midwestern states, sort of this meat and potatoes heartland kind of feel that perhaps is still associated either with the Midwest as a whole or specific states. Do you think that the image still exists here? Do people in Wisconsin think of the nuances of the Wisconsin food tradition, or do we still think of ourselves as a meat and potatoes kind of place?
I think there's both going on. There's definitely, just like the with the American sort of food revolution, both things are going on. We're very, very interested in this new local, seasonal, sustainable kind of cooking, especially in southern Wisconsin where there are so many dairy farms, so many organic farms, where there are urban centers to support them. There's a lot of interest in and activity around this new culinary movement. However, we still have out there in the greater world, whatever this reputation, quote unquote, as either the meat and potatoes kind of place or just it's all about brats and cheese. And in fact, if you look at our history, nothing could be further than the truth that we are just a meat and potato state.
You're saying we've never been just
we've
a meat and
never
potato
been.
State.
We never have been, and we certainly aren't now. We are a state and have been a state of great agricultural diversity, great geographic and climactic diversity, great ethnic diversity, great industrial and religious diversity. All of those things play into our food. All of those reflect our food, and all of those come out in our food tradition. So 460 recipes are in this book, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, and the chapter in this new edition called Fresh Age charts, I guess, how food here has changed in the past 10 or 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You write about the organic and slow foods movements and also the influx of immigrants from other parts of the world. Is it getting more difficult to distinguish a Wisconsin food tradition, or does it even matter? Is there a difference in talking about, say, Thai food in Wisconsin and Thai food in Maryland?
Oh, those are great questions. Have you got about 45 more minutes? In fact, it's just like really, like if you look at all of American cooking, the same types of questions and the same types of widespread answers have to be applied. There isn't really American cooking as such, and there really isn't Wisconsin cooking as such. If you're talking about cooking and cuisine as this kind of codified system, no, of course we don't have that. But what we do have are amazing influences, a kind of a melting pot where both things can come together and taste like a delicious stew, or you can also recognize the individual elements of the stew. I think one thing I'd really like folks to understand is that we have this great immigrant history in terms of our culinary history in Wisconsin, but it's not just what the automatically comes to mind, you know, the German brats and the Swiss cheese and those kind of Western and Northern European traditions that are so important and so in some ways majority traditions, but they're really also just the tip of the iceberg. Those traditions come from that 19th century and early 20th century immigration, but that immigration was going on before the Europeans started coming here, and it's been going on ever since. Today, for example, go to any farmer's market, or just about any farmer's market, certainly in towns like Milwaukee and Madison and Eau Claire and Green Bay, you name it, La Crosse, and you'll find this wonderful Southeast Asian influence because of the Hmong vendors who are growing and selling their vegetables now at farmers markets. And so Wisconsin is eating Asian ingredients and learning how to cook with Asian ingredients that we never had before.
Well, and I wonder if in the end what's unique isn't necessarily that Wisconsin has all of these various traditions creating the Wisconsin food tradition as it is, but it's in the interaction of these different traditions in different parts of the state even?
Yeah, that's the thing about culinary traditions or what are called foodways in particular. I mean, foodways are culinary folklore. And in other words, just like crafts or like dance or like certain kinds of music or storytelling, our culinary traditions, our foodways are part of our cultural past and present and future. They don't stay static. They stay vibrant because they do change. And so this intermixing goes on. Things do change. For example, I was talking about Southeast Asian vegetables coming to Wisconsin cooking. And we're now learning here to work with, say, pea shoots or squash vines and adding those to our stir fries. That's a tradition that is Hmong, that's very strong in the Hmong culture, but it changes a little bit because it's here. And that's how foodways work. That's why they endure, and that's why they grow stronger, because they change.
You were already an experienced food writer when you undertook this project, but did anything surprise you when you went about casting the net for what went into this book?
The sheer variety and number and complexity of dishes and specialties and closely held traditions, culinary traditions in the state. We have all these wonderful pockets of ethnic settlement around the state. We also have all this wonderful geography and climate to draw from, you know, field and stream and big lakes and dairy and you name it. We can access wild foods. We grow wonderful foods. We produce fantastic dairy. And I really was just kind of blown away all over again, even after writing about all these kinds of things for almost 20 years now. Ouch, 20 years. But I still was just really surprised at how many there are. It's like an onion. Every time I peel back a layer, I find more layers.
Therese Allen, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Therese Allen is the author of the new edition of The Flavor of Wisconsin, an informal history of food and eating in the Badger State, published last year by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. Tomorrow on our Project Milwaukee series, What's on Our Plate, we move into the present and take stock of what's being produced in Wisconsin today. But next on the program, gardening contributor Melinda Myers has some things to keep in mind as you finally put away your gardening tools for the season. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.